In the life of a little boy, Mom is the first woman he gets to know, so it stands to reason she becomes a role model for or against womanhood.
You're listening to Parenting Today with Dr. Bob and Rosemary Barnes from Sheridan House Family Ministries, and I'm your host, Ruthie J, covering this topic of mothers and sons. Monday, we talked about really the sacrifice that it is being a mom and how mm-hmm. you raise this boy who ends up leaving and, you know, the pain that goes through that.
Was he thinking?
Right, I'm his mother. And yesterday, we talked about doing what's right, not mm-hmm. what's easy. And there is so much, there's a really a natural selfishness in everybody, but then mothers just have to deal with it a lot because you want to be loved and really cherished by your own kids.
Right.
When that's not entirely their role. Their role is to honor. But then if you want to be a real selfish mom, you're just going to strain the relationship.
Exactly.
And it's different with a little boy. And we've talked about that. You raise a little girl and she reaches the point where she's jealous of Mom and there's a lot of pushback. But then she reaches the point as a young adult where she realizes Mom isn't as stupid as she thought. Mm-hmm. And Mom's got a lot of wisdom. And why not go to Mom? And she realizes more and more and more and more and more, even though she's trying to prove herself to Mom. Little boy's job is to leave. Mm-hmm. It's totally different and painful for Mom. Mm-hmm. But there's another part, and we're going to talk about this today, that Mom plays in the development of this little boy. Mom is the first woman that this little boy interacts with. Mm-hmm. And so Mom becomes a role model for womanhood. And it stands to reason as she's doing that, that it's going to impact one way or another who he's going to select mm-hmm. for a spouse. You know, it's going to be anti-mom or mom, right. or, you know, or some close to one of those poles. Mom, as you watch Mom, whether you realize it or not as a little boy, you know, if I spent my whole life on a farm and never saw anything but Shetland ponies, which are those little short ponies, and rode those ponies around, I would think all the ponies on planet Earth are Shetland ponies rather than, and all of a sudden I go to town and see a Clydesdale, and I just gave you everything I know about horses right there. I think, wow, what's that? That's not, that's a weird one. Yeah. But you spend your whole life watching this woman and the emotions of this woman, and you're a little boy, and you learn how to react or handle or whatever, and you tend to think, okay, this is the role model. This is the benchmark. And so Mom plays a very, very significant part in his life of what the other gender, how the other gender functions.
I think one of the problems with moms that we all struggle with, but we really need to think through is this fact that they're going to be watching us. They're going to be watching us as far as how we react to dad. They're going to be watching us, how we react to life circumstances. And I think we tend to be so busy or so preoccupied with all that's going on in our lives that we don't think through that process. And I think it's so pivotal that we need to realize people are watching me all the time. Mm-hmm. And again, that's a biblical principle as far as all of our lives. We're living it in front of other people and most especially in front of our families. Mm-hmm. And so it's just really, really important to be every day as we begin our day with our families to say, Lord, I am going in to be an example of a woman, to be example of a wife. Help me to do it in a way that would honor you.
Mm-hmm. And you do have a different kind of relationship with your son, but the way you treat your husband, I think, is giving an example. Like, do I want a girl treating my
yes.
son the way I treat my husband?
Exactly.
And if the answer is no, then maybe there's a little
right.
change that needs to happen.
Exactly. Exactly. I think the modeling, if there is a dad in the house, the modeling before our children of how we're reacting to one another is very, very critical because children learn more by watching than what you say to them. They, you know, you can say all you want, but if they don't observe the same things that we are claiming we believe, it's not going to make an impact.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I think probably the biggest issue is I don't know what the other gender is or how the other gender functions until I start watching and see and get it. What is my mom doing? You know, I think for a little girl, it's interesting. A little girl may want to be like mom, but a little boy may want to have a girl like mom or exactly, totally, completely just the opposite. A little girl may grow up and say, I will never be like her. She's so volatile. A little boy may say, wow, I don't want anybody like her. But what we have to admit is the woman in the house has a huge impact on that little boy forming with that little boy. This is what, how, the way women function. Now, dad plays a part in the life of that little boy in this, but mom plays a huge, as the role model, a huge part in this. And when, for mom, when cosmetically, that's her whole thing in life, where cosmetics are everything. So then that little boy grows up realizing how important surface things are, mm-hmm. where mom is spending her life trying to look 10, 20, whatever years younger than she is, enhancing herself to look whatever mm-hmm. she thinks she's supposed to look like. It makes such a statement to that little boy that, okay, so it's not about a brain. Mm-hmm. It's all about a body. Mm-hmm. And that's the goal in life, because obviously mom is a woman and mom is the woman in my life as I'm a little boy growing up and getting older and getting older. And look at mom. She's walking around the sporting events at my high school in the tightest jeans on planet Earth. So I guess that's what I'm supposed to look mm-hmm. for, too. Mm-hmm. I mean, we give these constant subliminal, not just subliminal, they're very overt statements to our little boys. This is what you're looking for. Now, you can say anything with your mouth you want. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Son, this is what you need to look for. You can say anything you want, but the way mom lives her life has a ginormous impact mm-hmm. on that little boy, doesn't it?
I've heard some studies of when mom is just very controlling or very, very headstrong, much more than the dad in the mm-hmm. house, then there might even be sexual identity problems mm-hmm. in the boy, especially because mm-hmm. there's the mom and the boy, there has to be mm-hmm. this balance yeah. or else things go a little off kilter and there's yeah. all kinds of questioning going on.
Right. And I think that's one of the most important things is that a mom begins in her role of womanhood is to develop, even as a toddler, the male leadership. Now, that sounds very challenging because you have a little child that needs you and needs your control, needs your discipline and all those things. But in that same, in the balance there is a beginning of allowing that little boy some male leadership and teaching his role as a man in his leadership capabilities. And I think that's in mom's hands to begin that process of understanding what it means to be a male leader.
It's very important that, you know, what you said, Ruthie, that she doesn't castrate his maleness and his leadership early on. I think the boy in the home of a very, very strong, domineering mom, the boy's going to, depending on his personality mm-hmm. type, is going to mm-hmm. go one of two ways. She's going to have her hands full and he's going to be out the door as fast as he can, or he's going to have some sexual identity problems and may never want to leave. Or leave and still have the male, the sexual identity problems. She has, it's a balance, and it's mm-hmm. really a difficult balance with a little boy because you've got this sweet little boy, and maybe he's not a barbarian, maybe he's a pleaser. So he's not such initially a major decision maker, and he might not be a major decision maker as a leader because he thinks through and his heart's so big. And mom is just in love with this little boy because he comes to mom with, "Mom, what should I wear? What should I do?" And mom has to decide, you know, that's real sweet, but I'm going to develop a leader here. You decide what to wear. Mm-hmm. And they won't always be the right decisions. And the mm-hmm. socks won't always be the right socks. And this won't always mm-hmm. be the right whatever. But you're teaching him to make decisions and live with his decisions.
But there are some moms that love to be asked. And they almost like foster that.
Yes.
You know? Like,
why?
So
why do they love to be asked?
They love to be needed. It's mm-hmm. like this internal female, right. I want to be wanted and needed yeah. and loved. So I'm going to create the vacuum in my child. And you're mm-hmm. hurting yeah. the child.
That's exactly right. There's a great book that just really, really spoke to me when Roby was a little boy. And it's still in print by Jean Lush, L-U-S-H. And it's called Mothers and Sons. And it is a phenomenal book on that very thing. Ruthie, about developing leadership in their son. And just yesterday, I was with Tori and her two boys. And Ruben is just turning 3 tomorrow, actually. And I saw her developing this. She was developing a character trait. She was saying, "Now, Roby, you know, we've messed up."
You did say Roby, but that's okay. You do
I
that
did.
A lot. Yes, you
oh,
did.
Oh, my
yes,
goodness. That was
it's
an
Ruben.
Interesting.
It starts with an R.
Yeah,
it's
okay. Yes, that's okay.
Anyway, Ruben, we have messed up Mimi's kitchen. Let's start putting away. And she turned over the responsibility at 3 years old of putting away his toys in the kitchen. She handed over that role of being the cleaner upper person, which mm-hmm. sounds like such a small thing. But even that was an opportunity to develop taking some ownership, taking some leadership in a situation. And she praised him. And boy, you've been such a great help today, Ruben, and all that kind of thing. And I think that's just the beginning stages of developing that male leadership.
Don't you think, feeding off a little bit of what Ruthie just said about the moms that enjoy being needed, they may be making less of a statement about parenting and more of a statement about their own marriage. Hmm. That the relationship, mm-hmm. there's mm-hmm. needs not being met in their relationship, so they turn to the next relationship. And as perverse as this sounds, they're almost having an extramarital affair with their parenting process, with their son, with their children. Yeah, nothing obviously perverse, but there is a little bit in it, in that I am now going to this child to get my needs met. I like when he comes to me for everything, and so I've set him up to come to me for everything.
And not only that, but mom will treat the child eventually like her best friend.
Teenager,
and she will just, hey, let's go for a talk, and they end up, and there's this weird relationship going on. You're thinking, is this... It doesn't even feel right.
No, right, exactly.
No. What does it mean? He needs to see in her what it means to be a woman. And what it means to be a woman, he needs to be raised to revere her womanhood and to celebrate her womanhood. And I mean, he was taught to hold the door for you, and and Roby was taught to wait to be seated at the kitchen table before you were seated. He was taught that it's a, the whole status of womanhood is so awesome, and there's a respect that needs to be as a woman, not that the woman is inferior in any way, but it's something to be revered and celebrated. And we, same thing here at Sheridan House in the boys' homes. Those boys don't sit down until mom's seated. And all the boys' homes, and they're taught to see mom as a woman and see mom as someone you respect for her womanhood. And it's different from the dad role completely. Mm-hmm. And they're taught that because so many of them come with somewhat warped perspectives of the woman is the slave in the house. And so we really work at beating that and helping them see that this woman here is someone you respect.
Now, you work a lot with single moms too. Is it different so much when you have a single mom and has to raise a boy, a different gender?
I think it's a little different, and we're going to spend all next week on this. Actually, we're going to talk about mothers of sons when dad's not there and how to process that. But I think she can get bogged down if she's not careful, the single mom, thinking, how do I do this? She can still see that she represents womanhood in front of him, and she can call him up. It's a hard balance. She can call him up to be the little man in the home, but still mom's in charge of this home. She can call him to that level, and she just has to be careful where she doesn't, like you said, put them on an equal basis. Our job is to help this child learn what it means to be a woman. And when that single mom chooses on Friday night to be a teenager again, by the way she dresses and goes out on a date, she degrades her whole gender, and she sets him up for that walking out the door. That's what I need to look for in a girlfriend. She has an opportunity here.
And on that topic, I mean, always a little discussion in our house was nightgowns around your kids. What do you as a woman then wear around the house? What do you comfortable? You know, and it's different for every family.
Right.
But my mom was always, she even taught me from an early age, you have a father and you have a brother in this house.
That's right.
Dress appropriately for that. And I'm like, Mom, it's our house. And so, and she piped that so much into my head that it stuck.
And that's very, I think that is so wise, because I think that, and there's another lesson that can be taught through that. And that is, you know, yes, we need to celebrate our bodies as women, but with our husband, that is the appropriate place. And that can be yet another lesson taught. But I think that's very, very important.
Let's face it, he's 11, 12, 13 years old, and he's developing a sexual identity, and all of a sudden realizes that the women in that house, sister and mom, have a body. And it's very helpful that they're very conservative with that body and the way they do dress. There's so many dynamics going on, and he is filing away all these things in his head. What does it mean to be a woman? What is the woman I'm going to marry look like? How do I make those decisions? And even with our children, Rosemary worked with Roby and I work with Roby on developing a list of what you're looking for in a mate long before he even dated, long before that. So he could start to get a little heat, and he did well. In fact, he did too well. He married way over his head in developing what it means. But he had a great role model for that in looking at his mom and realizing and watching and catching that. Mom is having an impact on who her little boy will choose. choose for a spouse.
You're listening to Parenting Today with Dr. Bob and Rosemary Barnes from Sheridan House Family Ministries. I'm your host, Ruthie J. If you want to hear this program all over again, you can do so online at parentingtoday.org. You can comment, ask questions, even sign up for the daily corresponding email blog. That's parentingtoday.org. To find out more about Sheridan House Family Ministries, support the ministry financially if you're blessed through this program, you can do that at shfm.org. And we hope you'll join us tomorrow for more on this topic of mothers and sons here on Parenting Today.